You're listening to Around Comics, episode 145.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the Comic Culture Roundtable. I'm Christopher Niesman.
I'm Tom Caters.
I am most definitely Scotty Young.
And I'm Sal.
And together we are the Roundtable.
I don't have a pop shield, though.
No pop screen?
No, I don't have a pop screen.
Pop.
Pop.
Stop doing that.
Keep your mouth 6 inches away from the mic.
Yes, don't eat the mic.
Can I get AIDS without a pop screen?
You might. I don't know where that mic's been.
Not if you pray.
I never know.
Scotty comes in. I got the bug.
I got the AIDS.
The creeping crud.
I got the bug.
I got throat.
Bug.
Chlamydia.
Chlamydia. Oh.
Damn.
This is starting off well.
Chlamydia is funny. AIDS.
Not so funny.
Depends.
Not so funny.
Yeah. Depends on how you use it.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Like any tool.
All right. Alrighty then. Well, back together on another Friday night here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
On the mouth.
We have, as we'll be reminding you here for the next week or so, we have our monthly book, movie, and CD club.
Thank you. As of yet unnamed club.
And
I like Club of the Month club. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, though.
Well, that was what I liked about it.
It's
not like we were having a club about months.
Yeah.
It's not like it just makes absolutely no sense.
You know, I was floating the Around Comics triple shot.
Triple shot? Triple sec?
Tribe sexual. Let's just call it the thing that we read, listen to, and look at. Let's call it the triple decker.
Club to death. Edutainment center.
Triple decker.
Edutainment.
Well, Scotty has our first picks of the month, and refresh everybody real quick.
The Witching Hour is the trade paperback by Jeff Loeb and Chris Pacello.
Love it.
The movie is Kevin Costner, Annette Bening, Robert Duvall in Open Range. Directed by Kevin Costner. I believe written by Kevin Costner as well. Could be wrong. Who knows?
That's a nice Kevin Costner t-shirt you have on this evening.
I know. His ass is hot. And then the CD is Blast Tyrant by the band Clutch.
Clutch.
Very good.
Go soak in all that entertainment and love it.
And you still have some time to order the trade and probably get it read. We're going to it'll be the first week of November we're going to be going over this.
Yes.
It's Scotty was actually going to head off on sabbatical
for a couple weeks today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be gone.
You're supposed to be on the road, man.
I'm supposed to be on the road tonight.
I showed up with a lot of prepared material to make up for it. But first, I'm just going to throw these scripts and jokes away.
I was wondering why you were so looking at me so dirty and being like, oh, fucking mean mugging me since he walked through the front door.
All my material is gone.
Step all over me.
God damn it.
Well, anyway, if you still have time to buy The Witching Hour, and the fine folks at InStock Trades have been kind enough to help us out with that. And this is a great time to mention that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
InStockTrades.com is offering this month's reading selection, The Witching Hour, to Around Comics listeners for an amazing 40% off the cover price. Get your copy today for only $11.97. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essential showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free.
Did you get hungry or something?
No, I just started talking too fast. My lips couldn't handle it.
I thought you were the micro machine guy for a minute.
Running over.
I can talk pretty fast, but
and we'll announce the new round of selections.
That same episode.
I'm putting a pin in that one. I'm calling dibs.
You're calling that
I'm
one.
Calling dibs.
It's all yours, buddy.
I'm waiting for a really good Christmas album to come out. It's mine. It's going to be whatever the best Christmas album.
That
Santa's messing with the kids.
Well, if you heard Scotty's rant on Monday, I just want to let you know I'm picking a foreign film, a Radiohead CD, and a Watchmen.
Because he wants to get murdered.
I'm so angry, Scotty.
Yeah. Chris
it's
wanted
all about
to know what it
an open mind.
Chris wanted to know what it'd feel like if I put my fist in his fucking throat.
Pictures will be posted on the forum. And our last reminder is let everyone know that Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would certainly enjoy to make your acquaintance.
Yes.
That's very scary.
We'd like to meet you.
You don't like
bad
people? Please. Please come and hang out with us.
We like people.
All right. Well, it is for the second week, it is the return of an old favorite. It is time for Top of the Stack.
Hit the sound effects.
Top of the Stack.
That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listeners, know what we
so
the panel have been reading.
I'm so glad
for
that sound effect is back. I don't really care about the segment itself.
But
I'm very happy.
For that production.
I know.
Those jingles for us. Seems a shame just to retire them.
Waste them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, can I go first tonight?
Yeah. I'm going to have to defer to
it's
Tom.
It's going
to
be very quickly.
Christ. Okay.
I've got nothing. Tom, go ahead. Take it away.
Also, my favorite thing is just quiet solitude as well.
Yeah.
No, have you ever just sat around and not read anything?
I've been trying to find my chi.
Yeah, I've been searching for my my inner teenager.
What is your favorite chakra?
Oh, I don't know what it is.
What?
I don't know.
It's very uncomfortable. What? A lot of uncomfortable moments.
Someone speak. Nightmare. Someone talk about comic
books,
please. All right,
should I pick the comic book or the trade first?
The comic book.
Okay.
I just, that was it was just random.
The appetizer
I don't know.
Before the dinner.
My disappointment.
Sorry.
No, you're saving this better for a second. My pick was Elephant Man number 11. It is, now all of a sudden I've completely, it's written by Richard Starkings with
Moritat.
Art by Moritat. And I love this book, even though it basically has no thread tying, very strong thread tying all the issues together, but it looks absolutely beautiful, and all the characters are always really interesting. But it, whenever you see people sort of go online and complain about like books or things and say, oh, it doesn't have a very strong story. You know, usually I'm one of those people that's like, yeah, it doesn't have a very strong story. And this doesn't have, you know, the tightest story, but I
that's
love
okay.
it. Either way, yeah.
Oh, you got a really nice backstory on Sahara in this, which I liked. You know, that's the weird thing about this book is that, and spoilers out there, there are characters that you get backstories on that make them more interesting, and they're already dead.
Yeah, or the fact that it's like a prequel to something we don't know, like, what's going to happen. It's not done
yet.
So we keep getting, like, backstory on people that we kind of know what happens to. But whatever, I'm along for the ride.
It's entertaining.
Hey, well, guess what, man? That's how I roll. It looks good. It reads good.
They're, by the way, smooth. Really nice Mike Waringo tribute.
Yes, there is in the back as well, yeah.
It's the flip it over. It's all the Elephant Men books have the double cover where you flip it over and turn it upside down and all that good stuff. But some really nice words about Mike Waringo. I think what is it? DeZago?
Todd DeZago. Yeah.
Did a nice write up in there. So yeah, good
and
stuff.
And there's also reviewed. I guess Dave Sim, the guy who did Cerebus, has been doing reviews of Elephant Man as it comes out on his blog.
Oh really?
They have that. Also in there. It's pretty interesting to read.
I'm sure he's got something.
I mean, that's one of the nice things about Elephant Man, too, is that it comes with, like, cool backup material as well. So
it has a very pulp magazine kind of feel to it.
It tells you what you don't know about English comic book stuff.
Or you could just call up Rick Starkings.
Half the time I don't read the stuff in the back.
He will tell you about the time in the pub.
Sometimes I do. It depends on
if it's
sometimes I get tired. I can't finish all of it.
That's all right.
Can't read letter columns.
Yeah, and I don't know. You know, I don't know exactly what it is about the art that I really love either. But there's something. See, do you notice how like ambivalent I am? But yeah. I really enjoy it.
This is my favorite book. Maybe half so das. I don't know.
But sometimes you like things and don't know why. Yeah. So
I like many things
and don't know why. Mm-hmm.
Like Typhoon. You question yourself even.
Smallville. Like Smallville.
I know exactly why I don't like Smallville.
But you continue to watch it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You don't know why you do that.
Yeah. It's the same reason whores like to get spanked and put battery cables on their nipples.
You're getting paid to watch Smallville?
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
That's, reverse yeah. snap well, on Mr. yourself.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll go ahead and go around here. Scotty is finding his inner peace, so we'll...
I'm reading big boy books. I got about 20 books now to read, so I'm taking a break.
That's all right.
Fantasy.
All
right,
well,
no
Mr.
problem.
Salazar, what you got there?
My favorite was actually came out a couple weeks ago, and it's Jack Bible. Of Fables... Number 15, it's the spin-off book from the Fables universe.
Jack O'Fables.
Written by Bill Willingham with art by Andrew Robinson and a Brian Boland cover. I really enjoyed this story because two things about it. It kind of surprised me in the end. It was like this was the end of a four-part arc. And the whole sort of setup to it, I don't want to spoil anything, but... Jack is in a predicament, and it's like the whole time I'm just sort of questioning, how's he going to get out of this? How's he going to get out of this? Because they pretty much set it up where, like, there is no way out of it.
Right.
But, of course, you know, there is going to be. It's just a matter of how they eventually do it. And the way they do it was just surprising, and it was completely in character. It was something that only Jack would do. And Jack's one of those characters that is not particularly a good guy. He's not a particularly likable character, but he's charming nonetheless, and he's entertaining to read about. And that's really what I've enjoyed about that series so far is that
sounds
he's
like some people I know.
He's just one of those characters that he's not a good guy in any way. He's out for himself. He's selfish and not very heroic or anything else. But
I like
he's
this guy.
He's fun to read about because of that. And nothing really. He doesn't let anything get in his way. He always figures a way out of anything. And in this particular arc, it was all about. Him trying to kind of figure out a way of having a sword stuck through his chest that he couldn't get rid of. And in the end, he does in a weird, like, illogical way that only he could do because of his mindset of being so selfish. So, like I said, I'm being...
He sold the sword.
No, he didn't sell the sword.
That would be my guess.
I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to give any of it away, but I've just really enjoyed Jack of Fables. And the main Fables book is terrific, too, but the Jack of Fables one I've really enjoyed a lot because it's just mostly about, you know, that character and the things that he does and how sort of incorrigible he is. And he's entertaining. He's like a Han Solo kind of, you know.
Then I'll see you in hell.
Yeah, you know.
Your dragon's going to freeze before it hits the first marker. You better look without the helmet.
Well, he's Han before Han became a good guy. He was the Han that shot first. But
Yeah, Jack and usually art done by hometown Tony Akins.
Yeah.
Normally.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy Tony's art.
Who did it this time?
I just put it away.
I shall tell you in
take
just
it out
one
of its
moment.
Bag and board.
Thanks, Tom.
Andrew Robinson.
Andrew Robinson.
And Brian Boland.
Andrew Robinson drew it.
That's, yeah. Who's Andrew Robinson?
The sweetness is what he is.
I don't know.
Scotty
I'm not familiar.
Andrew.
Yeah, I love some.
Does
Andrew
it still
Robinson.
Have the Brian Boland cover?
Yes, it did have Brian Boland cover.
I like
Jack
Brian
with a sword
covers.
Through his chest. It's Excalibur, basically. He's got stuck in him, and he can't. Because
he can't pull it out because he's not worthy?
No, yeah, well, because he's not worthy, he can't pull it out, but he figures a way to do it in the end. At the same time, not only does he figure out a way to do it to get rid of it, but he ends up fucking someone else in the process. I didn't know there was a child
stars.
In the story. Very
just always
my,
with his mom.
Oh, jeez.
Mom hears the
kitchen. The sadness.
Sorry.
We are the devils.
He does.
So many
Mark levels of hell. Mark keeps putting us behind this wall so we can't see who's in the shop. So.
Soundproof.
What are you going to do? But anyway, Jack of Fables, I really enjoyed it. And
never swearing it on air.
If you haven't picked it up yet, I would highly recommend it.
I've resisted buying it. Because I know I like it sort of like, you know, how I would.
Yeah.
I know if, as soon as I start collecting, you know, toy cars, I'm sure I would buy as many as I possibly could.
Or cookie jars.
If you started collecting. Cookie jars, yeah. All my vices.
Well, my top of the stack is Illustrated Tales of the Bible.
What?
No, I'm joking.
Really?
Trying to offset you heathens.
Peace be with you.
Along with Sal, I'm going back.
Fantasy section.
I'm going back. Which actually, those, you know, the origins of EC Comics, Illustrated Stories of the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. Before they were EC Comics.
Yes. Did they show all the gore?
Speaking of EC Comics.
Like all the, you know, decapitated heads that Moses would have in jars.
I don't know if they showed that scene.
Those stories?
No, I mean, was that
Bible.
A Catholic
I'm
thing? Was that a?
I'm reading a different Bible.
He's
apparently.
Reading
wow.
the Bible.
I'm reading the Bible.
Sorry, I.
No, along with Sal, I'm going back.
My Southern
a little bit,
Baptist
so.
Upbringing didn't.
Your Bible's 20 pages long.
And it just says, be good
don't
or go to hell.
Yeah.
Over and over for 20 pages.
That was it.
You are going to burn.
I think I've listened.
The greatest hero you've never heard of, Booster Gold, number two. Number three is already out, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
Is this a big historical character? I mean, has he been
Booster.
Around for a long time?
He's been around for a while.
The mid-80s.
Yeah.
Is that a Jurgens character?
Yes.
He's just one of those little characters that, like, he was always sort of a secondary character, kind of a joke for a long time. And,
C-list.
But
yeah,
he had
Justice League
a following. I mean, people like, you know, it's like, I always liked Booster because he was he was kind of a jackass.
He was always trying to be, make money off being a superhero while also being a hero at the same time. Okay. It was always sort of the joke with him.
Yeah, Booster's thing is that he's from the future and
he was a loser in the future.
He stole a Legion ring and a security robot and went into the past to make money.
Basically. How did I miss that?
I don't know. So, where were you?
I don't know.
Where were you?
I must have been off doing some lame stuff.
You must
have
been
awesome like that.
Sitting in silence in a room with no media.
But this
you were watching The OC, I think, when that came out.
I was. Oliver, don't hurt her.
This definitely falls into the category of what we've described as comics written for Tom.
Yeah, all of DC Comics now are being written specifically for Tom. I've come to believe that.
I can't buy all of them.
Yeah,
and it's screwed.
And more on that later. But this is the continuing adventures of Booster Gold and Rip Hunter as Booster has to go back and fix the time stream as some yet unidentified villain is changing the course of history and doing things like killing Hal Jordan and inadvertently, it's making Guy Gardner the greatest Green Lantern of all time.
He already is.
According to him.
What was fun about this story is that Booster has to go back and intercepts Sinestro, who has yet to turn rogue from the Green Lantern Corps, and keep him from talking to Guy Gardner, because those events would bring along the Sinestro Wars, the Sinestro Corps Wars, ahead of schedule and you know, put the universe in danger.
Make time all wacky.
Yeah, so it's... And the stories are fun. They're creative. How Booster gets out of these things is very fun and very clever. But it's the entire feel of the book, that it's just a fun...
It's Quantum Leap in comic books, sort of.
Oh, I love Quantum Leap. Yeah.
Well, then you'd like Booster.
I love Scott Bakula.
Count Bakula?
Count Bakula. I just love the idea that John's came up with. I mean, just the whole sort of story engine for this to make Booster really heroic, but... At the
he
same
can't
time,
tell
he can't
anyone.
Tell anyone. Yeah, he can't tell anyone, and so it still keeps that sort of
history of him being a jackass.
Yeah, intact. But in the book itself, he can be heroic, even though he's still kind of a jackass. But at least he is trying. He's doing the best he can. So
you'll enjoy issue number three. There's some drunk time spear driving,
and
Jonah Hex.
Yeah, true.
and the next issue of Booster Gold is going to be one of your wet dreams.
Well, maybe. I mean, I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. We can just assume, though.
Jesus. I mean, I'm sure I'll like it. not that much.
The Bible!
I'll put it down and be like, that's pretty good. And then I'll move on.
Then be like, why did
that's
he
enough.
Give me a... I'm not even going to say it.
No. So
I just
self-editing.
I just edited myself. I'm so
proud. Good job.
One of the things I like about Booster is that I'm not a longtime DC reader. You know, I really have jumped in the last year of liking the DCU. But Booster Gold right now is kind of it's a quick little crash course in DC continuity. By reading Booster Gold number two, you kind of find out a little capsule of Sinestro history. You know that Sinestro used to be a Green Lantern, and you find out some of these things. So it's like these little
time
jump history lessons.
Of course, pretty much any book that Sinestro's ever in, they kind of tell you the same thing.
Yeah, used to be a good guy.
He used to be a great
fascist.
Yeah,
but I
love the way that John's write Sinestro, because even when he was a Green Lantern, he was a jerk.
And Jeffrey Katz. Let's not forget the co-writer.
Oh,
and Dan Jurgens, who does the art. Who I haven't. His art has been.
I like Jurgens' art in this.
Yeah, I haven't liked Jurgens Art the last couple of years, but this is really good.
Anyway, I guess that would be my top of the stack. So you want to go around for another round here?
Sure. I got a couple. Tom, what else you got?
I'm totally into teenagers right now.
Oh, jeez.
Books about teenagers.
Oh.
Sad books.
Sad books.
I just picked up
Teenagers in Distress.
I picked up The Waiting Place, book one, written by Sean Kelly McKeever.
I like that middle name.
Yeah.
His middle name's Kelly?
Yeah. Why doesn't he use it more?
Sean Kelly McKeever.
Sean, if you're listening, tell us why.
Why don't you use the K?
S.K. McKeever.
I think that there was a confusion maybe at birth. Maybe he could go on either way.
He could have been androgynous. He was androgynous.
Maybe this book burnt out the Kelly. Out of them. And he's like,
who did the art on this
one? That part of me is done. Brandon and Brian Frame. It was from Slave Labor Graphics.
Didn't Norton do any stuff on The Waiting
Place? He did the second book, yes.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought.
It's about a kid who moves into a very small Wisconsin town called Northern Plains. It's this kid named Jeffrey who's, you know, he takes, like, acting classes, and he's from a bigger city, and all of a sudden he gets dumped into sort of a very backwards redneck town, and you see his interaction with, you know, all the other, you know, sort of small-minded kids. There's the kid who's sort of older than everyone but hangs out with the younger kids. And it's, you know, we were talking about Freaks and Geeks last week, mm-hmm. and it's sort
of... I finished it, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking kind of about why I've been enjoying so many kids, you know, stuff about disenfranchised children, and it's not just because I'm being picked on at work, which is part of it. It's not the whole thing, but this is sort of I want to say it's along the same lines, but a little different. It's a little bit sadder. It's not played up for laughs, but it sort of comes from that same place of, you know, kids being dropped into something where everyone around them, you know, you got racists, you know. Yeah, I know, Sal. You're freaked out by that.
I have a strong stance against racism.
Yeah. I hate cancer. You know, there's the one black kid in town who, you know, has to deal with really upfront racism. And I'm from Green Bay, which isn't, you know, it's not a huge town. It's not, you know, a small, you know, a tiny town, like 800, you know, population. But I see a lot of very similar things that I sort of saw when I was young in that town of... people, it's sort of like a dead end, which is why it's called The Waiting Place, is you just sort of end up there and there's never any way to escape, really. And you just have to sit there for the rest of your life.
You're just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, and one of my favorite characters, actually my favorite character in the book is Scott, who works at this video store that his parents own. And he's like 24, but all his, you know, him and his friends never really escape the town. So he hangs out with the high schoolers. And I know people who are sort of like that, who hang out with younger kids, because if you're forced to see how everyone around you sort of hasn't done anything, you kind of have to accept the fact that you haven't done anything either. But if you hang out with younger kids, they're always like, I'm going to get out of here. So he's obviously in some sort of denial about, you know, where
Does this hit home or something?
Yeah.
Why are you getting so shook up?
Yeah.
It's okay. Just take
I'm okay. Yeah, can we stop recording for a minute?
Okay.
I'm kidding. I also think it made me start thinking about fiction really deeply because I've been at home by myself a lot. And I've been drinking a lot by myself.
God.
and reading.
This is getting sad.
Well, no.
I don't think you should read books like that. You need to pick up a nice Flash or something to keep you happy.
I got
them
mixed
up.
I got them in the sad black and white books.
Boo. Ooh, give me another beer.
I was sort of thinking about...
Death.
I was thinking about killing,
I was thinking about killing myself. Yeah.
I was thinking about killing myself, and I decided not to.
Oh, good God.
And the phone rang, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I'll watch the game.
Yeah, exactly. That was what happened. You want to watch the Packer game?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, sure. I do want to. As he cocked back the hammer and releases.
As The Waiting Place makes me so sad.
Well, thank God the Packers have a winning season.
But it's so
this
funny
year.
To hear. It's so funny to think of, you know, you think of a very common experience of growing up and how different writers and different creators can take something like that and shave like a little piece of it off as their like reality of how it is, but none of it is really realistic, but you recognize pieces of, you know, I recognize as much of like the humor in Superbad as I do the sadness in The Waiting Place, but real life isn't really like that. It's just a small you know,
section,
small
a slice of it.
A slice of that.
Yes.
And this is just, I mix this in with my happy stuff.
All right.
Yeah. It might end up being happy. I don't know. It's only the first bug.
The good news is you didn't slit your wrist, so...
No, I mean, it's... I'm not in Green Bay. You know? If I was living in Green Bay and I read this, I'd be like, oh, God.
My life does suck.
You take yourself to the cold.
It's awful.
Because I'm buying beer for 16-year-olds.
I actually don't have anything else, Chris. I didn't really read a whole... I didn't get a chance to read a whole lot this week, so I don't have another book. I'm sorry. I don't have anything.
All right. Next week, come to class prepared.
Well, Top of the Stack was
Top of the Stack. It's one book,
so I didn't really...
Okay, well, Top of the Stack's over. Yeah,
I'm going to call the waiting place from the bottom of my heart. Element was
bottom,
the top of the
bottom,
stack.
Bottom
waiting
of
place
the
was from the, the depths.
I know
of my
I read
heart.
A bunch of other stuff this week, but I can't think of anything.
You can't think of it because Tom just took us to a dark place.
Yeah, I'm just
took you to my all my psychosis.
Contemplating.
Well, I tell you, I'll go ahead and
sucking on a tailpipe.
I had a couple that I read here the last couple weeks that I've really enjoyed.
All right.
And the Umbrella Academy continues to surprise me by how well Gerard Way can write a comic book.
It's a different plot than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, too. Absolutely.
It's very different. It's also got a funeral in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? It's sad.
Yeah.
From Gerard Way.
Oh, it's actually the name of this story was "We Only See Each Other at Weddings and Funerals," and it's the continuing story of this group of orphans who were brought up by a how would you describe him?
Mastermind,
like a twisted Professor X with a beard,
and who was also an alien.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
He's an alien?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Professor Hargreaves. I don't know the best way to describe this book, but
awesome.
I'll try. It is awesome.
Awesome.
First of all, Gabriel Ba. If you're a fan of Casanova, or if you haven't checked out Casanova, please do so. Gabriel Ba from Brazil?
Yes.
Brazil?
He's from Brazil. Him and his quote-unquote twin brother.
Fabio Moon.
I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah, I think it's...
Fantastic art, but I would describe this as Mignola-like story meets... it's got definitely Hellboy, Casanova, and
Doom Patrol.
And Doom Patrol.
I know he was a big Doom Patrol fan.
So it's good that it's original.
Well,
but the more things you mix together, the more things.
Is anything really original any longer, Scotty? There's no.
Well, see, now instead of mixing two things, you have to mix three or four
to
make it original.
That makes it original.
I haven't read it yet. I just let everybody know. I was only making that comment based on him,
jackass.
And I would say if you like Hellboy or if you like Casanova, definitely.
Yeah.
Or if you're
theft.
A fan of check it out.
No, it's definitely not like.
No,
it just has that feel.
Like
feel. It just sort of has the feel of those books.
If you're big into funerals at the moment,
if you dig funerals,
it kind of has the atmosphere of a Hellboy story, but without the folklore, where it kind of has like.
Oh,
the,
and it's funner.
It is.
More fun.
Sorry.
Funner.
Yeah. More fun.
But this is the funnest.
Very, very madcap.
That was what surprised me kind of the most about it, is that it wasn't like. Because his band, you know, and I like the band My Chemical Romance, but I mean, it is sort of that emo, dark guy. You know,
okay,
yeah, you know what
but
I mean.
If you actually heard it, it's actually it's like happy.
It's poppy.
Emo dunk,
yeah,
dunk,
yeah. It's not.
Goth. It's not like
you're
the,
happy because you're sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's all quick and upbeat.
Right.
Like it's upbeat music.
But I kind of thought maybe the book would be sort of, but it's not really dark.
That's what happens.
It's,
when you get,
yeah.
You always worry about that when someone from another. Media, you know, comes over and is like, I'm just going to write a My Chemical Romance comic book.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, he wanted to be a comic book artist when he was younger.
But he was no good.
Well, I think he interned
at DC, I think.
Yeah, and he done some, but then, like, he says, I don't, you know, I can only take him at his word.
Yeah.
He said, after September 11th, he, like, kind of went, well, I want to do something else. He wanted to, and
it was a pre-9/11
and that's when he started
mentality.
The band. It was like after September, it like affected him. To
you know,
the point where, like,
planes crashing into buildings, throw the pencils away. I just can't draw anymore.
I don't. Well, maybe
like
he just felt.
Right?
Well, yeah,
man,
you were going to be a rock star until then, and
no porn star.
and that's
My Chemical Romance.
But it wasn't 9/11. It was 8/13.
That's My Chemical Romance found Osama bin Laden.
Not yet.
they're working
through
on
rocking.
It. Through rocking. I don't know. I don't know. That's what he said. That
makes sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it was just a, you know, whatever. It changed his perspective on things, and he decided to start a band.
I was sad that day.
Yeah.
A couple other quick hits here before we move on. Brave and the Bold came out this week. Yes, this
yeah.
week.
I believe so.
I enjoyed the story. I didn't like the way that
you liked all the breasts. In
I
it, didn't.
I actually didn't like the way that Wade wrote Power Girl. I thought she was annoying.
I like that. That's how she used to be.
Boring?
No. She used to I thought he said boring. Punching stuff. Yeah. And she was angry all
bipolar.
The time.
Bipolar.
Oh yeah, she wasn't much angrier.
But the big tease and what we brought
you don't
up,
like your women angry? Is that what
he's, no, he gets it too often in his life.
Yeah.
He needs to see a happy woman every time.
Escapism, Sal.
I did grow up with four older sisters.
Isn't she the head of the JSA now?
Yeah.
Also, I think she's matured a little bit, and this doesn't reflect that. So, yeah, whatever.
Hey, but she was on the rag. Who knows? You know, she's pissed off. And
children's store.
There's another level of hell we just hit.
Something that
be educational if you're going to mention.
Well, the big tease on this, and further proving that all DC comics were being written by or for Tom.
They say my name five times.
Yes,
Tom Cater.
Do you like the scene, Tom?
The next issue. Did you see who's going to be in?
The Flash and the Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like good both. God.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be so tired after those books. Hopefully, Booster Gold and Brave and the Bold don't come out the same night. Or I'm not going to be able to read anything because I'll just be holding both of them, just like looking at them. Like, which one? And then I'll try and read them both at the same time.
How many tops of the stacks do you have?
This
you
is
seven
a quick
shout out.
I want to remind everyone that Suburban Glamour came out this week. Our buddy Jamie McKelvey.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But,
did you get this at the Mac makeup counter?
Isn't that pretty?
It's
great.
It's pretty.
Suburban
it's
Glamour?
Pretty. Yeah.
Suburban
Glamour. Nice.
Kids? I don't know.
Kind of high school seniors in a...
is it America or
high school
England?
Going on this
it's in England. It is.
Do they call their
like
schools
the
high schools in England?
No.
What do they call them?
But they called it a high school in the book. That confused me. But I did not have nothing to do with the quality. Yeah. There's a couple things in there I got confused on where it was, but maybe that's Jamie McKelvey's secret plan.
Could
to confuse you?
Disorient me, because everyone writes everything for me.
But it's in Wanburn High School. But yeah, it's a group of high school students, and it's this, you know, kind of fun look at high school life.
Yeah,
and but there's some weird, crazy stuff going on
magical
at the end
creatures.
Of it. So yes,
tiny teddy bear that smokes crazy. Cigars.
Oh,
with wings.
Christ.
Don't forget the wings.
Like yeah, that. With tiny. With
how
tiny
come you got a Hitler book over there?
My last
Mein Kampf is my last there.
Illustrated.
Why
Mein Kampf.
Why is everybody freaking me out today?
Teenagers.
I should have went to Colorado today.
I built good roads.
I had to mention this, and it's kind of a challenge for anyone out there to go out and
a
read
challenge.
And let me know.
Challenge.
It's I Killed Adolf Hitler by Jason.
I was looking at that last week, and it looks funny.
Came out from Fantagraphics Books. And he's done other books along this vein before.
I killed Mussolini,
Napoleon.
I strangled Napoleon.
You know, these characters that are all dogs, basically, and so they're what do you call that?
Mouse. Anamorphic.
Anamorphic. Yeah. All anamorphic characters.
Anthropomorphic.
Anthropomorphic. What's anamorphic?
Yeah. I believe that
not
is
not
a
word.
Cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh. The
anamorphic is a word you just made up. Congratulations.
Well, no, aren't movies anamorphic?
Animatronic.
Oh, yeah, anamorphic.
Yeah. So, so it's anthropomorphic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I know we're. You know, I'm bogarting the mic here with all of my
yeah,
my various
keep
picks.
Going. Keep going, Hitler.
Keep going.
I killed.
You're being a bit of a fascist.
Okay, here's the setup. I killed Adolf Hitler. It's not even really important that all the characters are dogs. And,
okay.
And like human dogs, anthropomorphic.
Never is.
Dogmen. It has no bearing
There's
on
no
the story,
okay.
But it does kind of add to the
cartoony
off kilter style of it. They live in a world where hiring a killer by appointment is just as common as going to the dentist or the doctor. You go, you make an appointment, you go and you see this person, and you hire them to kill people.
So that doesn't really make Adolf Hitler so bad in that story, does it?
Well.
Adolf's just a nuisance.
Way to make Adolf Hitler look like not such a mean guy there, Jason.
So our main character is a for-hire killer, and one day he is visited by a scientist who would like him
fucking
to
scientists.
Kill a certain dictator in this Earth's history.
Yeah.
And he's like, that'll be kind of hard to do because he died 40, 50 years ago.
Time travel.
Well, he has to go back in time to kill Hitler, and hilarity ensues as he botches the job. But it's after all of
killing
that,
Jews hilarious.
After all of that,
it's
really a relationship book.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Nice twist there, Chris. Nice twist. Can we take a break?
Do you think...
can we just take a break?
Is there any funerals in it?
Do you
think I would cry at the end?
And a conspiracy and a relationship book. So I killed Adolf Hitler. I can't explain it enough to tell
just
you.
Just go read it.
We've covered a lot of ground.
It's a lot of fun.
I think you've talked enough about it.
$12.95 Fantagraphics books.
Yeah.
Good Lord, are they paying you or something?
Seriously.
What is going
on? Seriously.
All right.
Seriously.
Take his mic away.
I feel as if in this segment I've come across as very bipolar. Like, either I'm crying at books or I'm just, like, crying in joy. And, you know, it's either one or the other. I never just put something down and say, that was all right. I'm either like, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, the flash. Oh.
All right, well, that'll take care of our actual comic book discussion.
Comic stock.
Bummer news this week.
Bummer.
Anyone reading American Virgin, series is going away.
You won't be for very long.
I've had the first trade forever, and I just haven't picked it up. Yeah. Although I've heard it's really good. I know Norton really enjoyed it, or enjoys it.
Norton's Kiss of Death. He recommends
a book, and it's canceled a week later.
Stay away from Booster Gold, Mike.
But it's kind of, I mean, other than like DMZ, a lot of the Vertigo books stuff aren't really doing real well. And
on single issue, we don't know how they're doing.
Well, but that's the thing that kind of is surprising about American Virgin is that they canceled it. But there's a lot of other books that are selling around the same number. The Exterminator comes
maybe
to
the,
mind.
Maybe the trade in the bookstores markets aren't moving that well.
Yeah.
It is one of those weird books that's like, I have no idea of what it is about. And
Josh told me so. I never read it, but Josh did the covers for it for a while. And, you know, so he read all the scripts and stuff. But it seemed like to be like one, like, from what he said, kind of like a, I'm trying to be edgy kind of.
It's a hard book to describe. It's from the first trade, and I'm picking up the rest of it in trade. Yeah, it's a difficult book to describe, and I think that's, you know, kind of what led to it. You have to, you know,
there's not the Hollywood pitch for it that's easy to describe.
Well, that's a lot of Virgo stuff, though. It's like
a young evangelical goes to Africa to find his girlfriend who's been kidnapped by African rebels, and he also happens to be a virgin because he's an evangelical, and so there's a lot of, you know, temptation that you know comes
along
the way.
There's not enough sex in it.
I know there's a ton of sex and sexual references and temptations for against his faith, but also looking back on the evangelical society in America and how that, you know, the political side of that people don't often see or even think
about.
Sounds
like it would appeal to Batman fans.
I wonder if that, and not because the title is controversial, that's not what I'm saying, but I wonder if the title hurt the American Virgin, it, like I said, from what Josh was telling me about the scripts, that doesn't really encapsulate
what it seems the story's about.
Yeah, I mean, as a reader, if I'm just judging a book by the title and cover, A book called American Virgin doesn't necessarily draw.
What does it say? What does it convey to you?
It doesn't invade. I mean, DMZ right away. You know,
right.
Well, from
people that have read it, I mean, it said that it doesn't. Most people go into it with either no real preconceived notion of what it is, or a notion of what it is, but then they're surprised by what it is. So I think.
And it's well written. It's well written, and Becky Quinn and art. And Becky Quinn and art.
Well, farewell, American Virgin. We heard.
Goodbye.
I'm sure both those people will do some other
sort
stuff
like
down
the road.
It's a funeral
for that book.
It's a funeral. Yes. Another
going
funeral.
To the waiting place.
God, Tom, do you have to bring it down?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Get well. Throw out a get well to Marie Severin.
She's one of our biggest listeners.
Yes. No.
Yeah, but Marie Severin suffered a stroke.
Severin. Mm-hmm. But I guess she's doing better, and good. She'll be out of the hospital soon. So.
Coloring again soon.
All right. Well, that's enough comic book talk.
No, please.
Talk about hover discs.
Hover discs. I did see
Scotty was blown away by the hover
discs. I was outside my apartment waiting for Sal and Chris today, and as I was having a cigarette listening to the New Kid Rock album.
Did you like it?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And I like Kid Rock. And
no, I do. I have no problem with Kid, but yeah, terrible. It's bad.
But still.
It's a cliche piece of shit. Okay. Kid's gone.
I can see it.
I look out, and a mother and two, I don't know, junior high, young high school, freshman high school girls. We'll say high school.
Teenagers.
Teenagers this week. And walk big outside with like a big, like plywood, what seems like a plywood or particle board type of disc. And I'm, you know, pretty large size, enough to sit on. And I look, oh, what are they doing? And I'm thinking, oh, it's like a Halloween project or something, right? They probably got a pumpkin on it or something.
They're building a volcano.
Yeah, and and then they have like a little air compressor thing that kind of looks like a miniature leaf blower.
Okay.
And I'm like, what is this? What's going on in my neighborhood? What's
you
happening?
Dial 911.
What's happening? This is
neighborhood
not,
watch.
This is no longer a Halloween
Listen,
project.
Watchdog.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Scotty the watchdog.
Yeah. So I look over and I watch Homeland it for security. A second. And they put the disc on the ground, and one girl sits on it. And this is very weird.
Now you're really intrigued.
Yes, slightly aroused.
you start running towards them. Like, what's going on?
And they put the little miniature leaf blower thing in a little hole that's on the disc,
uh-huh.
And turn it on, and it hovers. It's like Back to the Fucking Future. I think I'm like, oh, and she's hovering down the sidewalk.
Can she get back in the house?
How high was she hovering?
A couple, like 2 inches.
But enough for her to
glide around.
To glide around on yes. Wow. A wooden disc.
Yes, that is sweet.
Did you ask her where she got it?
No.
All of a sudden,
I was standing there, outside
there's a Huey Lewis soundtrack.
Evening,
all of a sudden,
and I was all hooded out and a beanie on and smoking a cigarette.
I know I've always seen like. Ads for the kits for the like the instructions on how to make your own little hover disc.
I hear the government's been stopping people from doing it though because they
gasoline
want you to use
sales.
Gas.
It'll destroy the infrastructure of America.
The tire conglomerate hates hover anything that hovers unless it uses tires.
But all I know is that's some futuristic sweet shit.
Are you going to get one?
Probably not because I'm too heavy.
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't know, 230 pounds.
What do you think when that kid...
with a miniature leaf blower.
What do you think when that kid gets too... That day when that kid's too big for it? Like how just... You know she's going to see
day.
It coming. She's going to see it coming where it isn't quite getting... Yeah. And then one day
it's like
going to be
skipping.
Like... Yeah, it's skipping. Yeah. Then she's going to be anorexic and...
Yeah.
It's horrible.
That makes me sad.
But I had never seen some shit like that.
I've never actually seen. I've heard of them. I've seen like on the internet and stuff where you can order the. But I've never actually seen one working.
You should call. You should call Art Bell with that information. You
know, they ship outside of Scotty.
There was a shadow person.
Of anyone in this room, Tom is the only one that's got a prayer of this working for.
And I need a giant board. I need four. All at the same time.
Yeah. Ooh, you can paint it. Silver.
Mark 3.
It was a pretty sweet little thing.
I want
check
one.
It out.
Where we're going,
my
we don't
one.
Need roads.
Well, run on garbage.
Speaking of the future, and we talk about future of the industry and that kind of stuff from time to time, usually in regards to comic books, but there is some pretty cool stuff going on in the music industry that I wanted to bring up. And and this segues off of Scotty's rant from earlier this week about how you can't understand Radiohead as a band. But Radiohead...
That was crazy that they're doing that.
I know what you're talking about. For those that don't know, Radiohead just came out with a new record. And
it's not a record.
It's a new album. A new
digital.
It's not even that.
A new collection of songs.
I'd say album is a fair description.
Okay, yeah, they just came out with a new album. You can't buy it in stores.
Son of a.
You can only purchase it online.
And
now,
tell them the hitch.
And this is the rub, in a good way. You only have to pay what you think it's worth.
Yeah.
Or nothing.
Or nothing.
Yeah,
well, if you don't think it's worth anything,
exactly. It's like if you want it free, fine.
You go to Radiohead's website, and that was the one thing that was a little.
That's insane.
They're gonna make $1 million. You know why? Because people are retarded for Radiohead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So $30. Yeah. I've always wanted to pay $30 for shit music.
I'll take eight.
Well, I mean, and
it eventually will come out as a CD, like in a year from now, sure. And you know all those people are gonna buy it. that too.
Well, you can pay whatever you want for the digital download, yeah, right. Or you can also pay $80 for like the Super Deluxo edition.
CD?
That yeah, you can get a physical CD and it comes with a bunch
they,
of a bunch of stuff.
Do they personally deliver it to your house?
With $80, it just shows up right well, on a surfboard of tears.
It comes with a bunch of extras, you know, books and that kind of stuff. So you can get like the you know for the true Radiohead. That's collector, crazy. You can get that.
You can also get it at another place, though. You can, not just at
Watch Out Apple.
Their website, but Amazon has now opened up their music store.
Yeah.
At and most of their songs are 89 cents
and not DRM.
And yeah, they're MP3s without any kind of DRM.
The iTunes have already went that way, though.
What?
iTunes already has iTunes Plus now.
And yeah, but they're more expensive.
But they're dropping
They're dropping it.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to.
Well, that's because they got to compete. And that's good.
You know, and the thing about Radiohead, and that's... I love that they're doing it, and people are going to say, oh, every band should do it this way. I don't think it would ever work if every band did it. Radiohead is one of those kinds of bands that has a fan base that will do it.
Yeah,
you know,
they're all crazy.
Yeah.
Well, makes sense.
You probably paid $100.
I paid $10. I paid what I would have paid.
I'm probably just
going to
steal it. Well, every band. I mean, bands don't make music off selling records.
They make money off touring.
Yeah. So.
But that's why, what you're going on here. This week as well. I brought up jokingly the Kid Rock album, which I got, and it's not available on iTunes or any online source. Because he is one of those...
Oh, it's available online, just not for purchase.
Right, but he's one of those guys who think... they've broke down. They're on iTunes now.
Okay.
But he's one of that weird elk that's holding out. His manager is saying, no, we're not going to do that. And my thing is... Do you think you're waiting something out?
Dude,
I mean, you're going to win this battle.
Yeah,
you've already lost.
The genie
is
over. Out of the bottle.
This is not a passing storm that you wait out, and when it's over, you're like, ha-ha, everybody, I've won the day.
Don't worry, Noah, this flood's going to fall. Yeah. All right? I don't need to get on your boat.
How much for every year that you do not have your music catalog on iTunes, now I know there's a lot of other online outlets, but iTunes, I think the quote was, you know, there's... there's fucking 80 million iPods in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The billions of songs sold through iTunes. iTunes is the main online music source.
Yeah.
I think there'll be other places that come along. Amazon will come along. It'll be interesting to see
competition
if they
it's not like anybody's going to knock iTunes out of out of it. They may there may be good competition, but it's like iTunes is already
they've solidified
their place.
But for the people who think for every year, like let's just we're going to use Kid Rock for example. Here's a guy who started his career for 10 years promoting his own tours and shows all by himself. No record company, no record label, making tons of money. So when the record labels finally came to him, he said,
kiss my ass.
Fuck you, and you pay me tons of money, or I'll just keep doing it on my own. Yeah. So he got a mega record deal that most starting artists don't get. But now he's playing this game, and I'm thinking every year that you do not have your stuff on iTunes, thousands of fans you're not that's another year
they're
of
not
people
exposed
that,
to
you're not exposed
to
you. And it's not like people are going to be like, oh, did you hear about Kid Rock? His stuff's only on CD.
Yeah.
And be like, let's go get
Is he on Guitar Hero?
I was going
to
say.
Because that's actually the most important place for musicians to expose their music now. It's become it's unbelievable. Like, the record industry is so enamored with Guitar Hero now because...
Well, it's fun as hell.
But it's exposing so many kids to music they'd never heard before.
Sure. Get this.
Getting them to buy albums of stuff and now they're
Def
like...
Def Leppard's huge with six-year-olds.
Well, this week, speaking of iTunes and Guitar Hero 3, Never Mind the Bollocks, Here Come the Sex Pistols, for the very first time, is now available on iTunes. And it's because of Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah, it was because they actually had to go back in studio to re-record it because the masters were lost for that.
That doesn't surprise
me. And they need the masters to make Guitar
Hero. That album isn't exactly a hi-fi lover's dream. Exactly. I like it, but it's not, you're not sitting there with your expensive headphones.
Your Bose set.
Well, the Metallica press release, once they finally, they were trying to hold out on iTunes
as well. Yeah, and their record sales went
So when they finally made their press release about, we're bringing in, of course, Lars, came on and said, yeah, you know, we wanted all our fans to be able to plug in their MP3 players and download our music, purchase our music and download in the MP3 players, just like we do with our favorite band. So trying to act like, we got iPod.
We're hip. We're down.
For, I don't know, last 5 years.
Yeah, you were.
We couldn't listen to our own music.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, I was looking at Metallica album sales, and it was like the Black Album was like 14 million, and it sold like 14 million albums. And then it was like their next album was like 7 or 8, and then it was like 6, 5, 3. Right. And nothing
is selling these days.
Yeah, nothing.
Standard.
Yeah.
But the record sales are. Oh.
But those albums all came out as a number one. All the ones, not the Black Album, but everyone after that came out as number one. But the sales just continually.
Well, they also there's a couple factors into that as well, because when they're each album after the Black Album, they were on like a 3 year tour,
right?
So when you were on a tour that long, you were selling albums,
yeah,
because you were out there promoting your music. Sure. After that, they stopped those huge. The
tours.
Days of the 3 year tours for mega bands like that are gone.
The big stadium tours,
And after that, when the Black Album out is when like MTV and the Box and VH1 were actually 24 hours a day music stations.
Yeah.
Now, once their other albums past the Black Album started coming out, there was no more video play for Metallica. I mean, so when you got a video like on their this Saint Anger album, the one that just came out, there's nowhere to get exposed to that album.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking for it. Yeah, unless you're looking for it.
Well, all I know is that the New Pornographers have a song on the University of Phoenix commercials, which really bothers me.
Good for them.
Well, it'd be a better college. If you're going to sell it to a college, like...
It's University of Phoenix, isn't that the...
That's like
the
a fucking online
internet
college,
right?
Yeah, oh, like, man, sell Jesus. It to, like, a, you know, at least, like, a community college that isn't online, you know?
Right. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the bands that hold out, I just, like, really the same people that try to hold out when it went from 8 tracks to whatever or vinyl to
my dad's band crumbled because of that.
Beta
only on 8 track.
All right, what else?
Well, we're going, I believe, after the show tonight to see 30 Days of Night, which premieres tonight.
Boo! What's spooktacular.
Let's get a predictions. Good, bad, indifferent,
scary.
I think it'll be good. I mean, I think that book lends itself to film pretty easily. It's
the movie might be better.
I heard it's better.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
The reviews that I've read have said it's better. And I don't know if I think you and I were having the conversation the other night, and that's I said. The movie should
be better.
Comic books
should be better.
Should be better, not because I think comic books are a bad way of storytelling. Not at all, but. That you're able to do things with moving
movies
people in
that
film
you
that you
do.
Cannot do. And I'm not talking about effects, but I'm talking about acting and line delivering.
Sure.
And there's things
atmosphere.
That you don't, because you can have a character give a facial expression, you don't have to have a lot of filler dialogue that feels very unnatural. Like, I mean, movies by nature should be better.
Well, that's why I feel that book lends itself so well, because the artwork, Ben Topelstra's artwork, is very sort of...
It's very hard to grasp in that
it
book.
Is. I mean,
I love him as an artist,
but there are scenes that, you know, especially action stuff is...
What the hell is going on?
But it leaves a lot to the imagination at the same time, which is part of its charm, but...
Right.
I think... So it leaves the filmmaker the ability to do a lot of things and not have people that are like hardcore fans of the book go, they did something wrong, because there's so much left open to interpretation.
Idiot
between
the
art and even
left-handed in the book.
Yeah. And even the dialogue, I mean, it's relatively sparse in the book. So yeah, I think it will be better. I like Josh Hartnett.
The trailers look great.
Yeah, and I think, like, artistically, it looks like they've tried to capture Temple Smith's look.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, of it. And I'm hoping it'll be good.
I'm not going to see it with you guys tonight, but I think it'll be good.
Well, I wish you were
Scotty's waiting for the DVD
box. I was
going to
buy you popcorn.
You're going to buy me popcorn?
Scotty only eats the biggest box of popcorn.
I saw a picture of Steve Niles at the opening
with
his arm around the actress in it, and he looked happy. Yeah. He looked very happy.
That's it.
I think he was giving one of these.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Scotty, you got some, speaking of horror, and we are coming up on Halloween.
Have you guys seen 28 Weeks Later?
Not yet. Yep.
I haven't seen it yet. It's on my.
Saw the first one.
Yeah,
I have it on my Netflix queue. Yeah. It's just.
It's I won't give anything away. I had heard so much about it people saying
suckage.
Yeah, God, it sucks so
really?
Much. Of
I
course, because it
only good things.
Well, that's weird. I'm hearing both sides. Like I had like Tim Seeley says, "Oh, it's awesome. I liked it better than the first." But I had more people telling me, "Oh, it fucking sucks." But I always usually when somebody tells me the sequel sucks, I basically pass that off as, "Oh, you hate sequels out of the gate."
Right.
You know. Like and that's what I say. Like I have to see
Godfather
the movie 3. Before I can say if I'm going to hate it or not.
Great movie.
Not
a sequel.
But this movie,
technically, part of a trilogy. Sorry. Go ahead, Scotty. Sorry about that.
That's the guy who played the Doctor in Doctor Who?
Christopher Eccleston is in the first
Eccleston.
One.
Yeah, in the first one, not in the second one. So.
This is.
It's still a lot of British.
Just
though.
So you know,
yeah, it's all still the same thing.
Just so you know, Christopher Eccleston.
Give me the setup of it. I mean, it's.
It is. It, I mean, it
is it later?
Yeah.
28 weeks later?
No, just kidding.
Oh, I thought you were being serious. Short bus motherfucker.
Is it later than the first one?
Now this is the one with
is the
with the
one?
Quick-moving zombies, right?
What?
These guys, yeah.
This is where, I mean, they're not technically zombies. It's basically going to, it was an anger virus. Like a virus that scientists were creating, like, they were experimenting with the, you know, human
chemical
genes,
warfare,
yeah, chemical
or biological
warfare,
warfare,
like that, and it just broke out. So it, what it
timer.
Looks like.
I'm sorry, I just had this vision of them using some of Scotty's blood to develop this.
Anger virus.
It comes with wicked beats.
Obviously, beyond the sort of beyond the obvious. I mean, what. What is sort of the connection? The first, are there a lot of connections?
Oh,
the first
God.
Film,
I mean, it's
the same world.
Yes,
right?
It is. Yeah. If you, it is no different if you would have ended the first one and it literally
28 weeks later.
At the very beginning, it actually starts off during the previous what was going on, but just in a different part.
Okay, okay.
And then it does really brief bullet points of. This many weeks later, this many days later, this many weeks later, blah, 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 till 28 weeks later, and you just see what. Has become of Britain 28 weeks later, and then what happens then? It's not like other zombie or other horror sequels where they try to like
amp it up. It's
got
to be.
How does it stack up against Resident Evil?
Oh Jesus Christ!
Does anyone like do a jumping leap kick and knock some dogs? Head out? Yeah,
some dogs,
some zombie
dogs.
Yeah. No, I mean I think the producer was the director.
Of the first one?
The first one. The first
movie's
the director.
First one was What's-His-Face, and I forget his name there. Yeah. But
I think
Danny Boyle?
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Danny Boyle. Great,
and
great,
I think,
great.
See, he produced it, so it was still in the same hands.
Right. Same feel.
It's same music, same score, so it felt like the same movie.
You know, it's... whenever I saw the and I actually haven't seen all of the first one. I need to go back and finish that.
What? Go the fuck home right now.
You know, well, no, but in his defense, Chris doesn't really like horror movies.
I'm not.
As a rule.
Yeah, so 30 Days a Night is going to be a stretch for me. It's Sal said he'd hold my hand.
No way. Come
here. You're going to sit in those seats that are like the love seats.
Yeah, my arm around
Where
he's going to bury his head in my shoulder when the scary scenes.
Whenever the bits of 28 Days Later that I've seen... Whenever I watched Hellboy, I was like, I wish they had shot Hellboy like they did 28 Days Later.
Well, the artistic side of 28 Days Later, now I will say it is
it has that kind of dark and...
I mean, it's still filmed just as good, but the artistic side of 28 Days Later that people may or may not have noticed, things like if you watch, a lot of scenes have the 40-degree tilt.
Yeah.
And will have a frame in front. Like, if the camera's looking, you will see medical bags and wires right to frame the shot where you should be looking. And it's, like, great illustration, but moving.
That's what I, and a lot of people liked Hellboy, and I didn't hate the movie, but
it
didn't...
It was okay. It was another okay comic book movie.
It didn't have the roughness or the grittiness that I felt that...
It's actually kind of colorful for a Hellboy, you know?
Yeah, it needed that kind of either, you know, overexposed... The grit to it.
The film,
it was too clean for Hellboy, because whenever you read a Hellboy book, it has that kind of, it's been kind of drugged through the mud feel to it, and I didn't feel the movie had that, you know, where 28 Days Later, I'm like, that is what Hellboy should
have been. That is
about.
What it is.
Yes.
And you screamed it.
Yeah. Was there, see, the only thing I would think about 28 Weeks Later is that, like, what I liked about the first one is it was sort of the... original take on the whole zombie genre.
Yeah, well, if you watch this, I don't know if you've seen, like, Land of the Dead, the latest George Romero movie. If you take that movie, give it a better script, and film it better and have better actors, that's what 28 Weeks Later is.
Oh, all right.
And not so like, oh, we built, what's their fucking truck called?
Death Reckon.
What was the one where they were in the shopping mall?
Dawn of the Dead.
The original Dawn of the Dead.
Both of them.
Yeah.
They're both.
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch them.
And they end up at the very end going to the island that they think is safe, and it's been. Yeah.
Well, this is, I mean, like I said, if you watch Land of the Dead, that still has kind of the cheesy qualities. It's still kind of cool, but it still has the cheesy qualities. But if you were to take that and turn that into a serious, like, what if this was for real? Ooh. It's kind of what 28 Weeks Later is. Like, a really good version of that.
Brains!
And I still like Return of the Living Dead myself.
I like the original.
The comic book.
Night of is still a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
You ever seen Return of the Living Dead? Oh, it's hilarious. It's so awful, but it's
is that
funny.
Romero, too?
Romero didn't have anything to do with it. It's about, like, a bunch of punk rock kids that are hanging out waiting for their friend in a graveyard. Mm. He works at, like, a medical supply warehouse, mm-hmm. and in the warehouse there's a corpse from the original Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's a corpse that the military stored there decades ago.
Does it take place later?
Yes, it is later. And it's
28
they
years
open
later.
They accidentally open up this thing and everything dead.
Hilarity ensues.
It's awful, but it's so awful it's good. It's, right. To me, I laughed my ass off watching that. With a half dog. the half dog. Jesus.
You know what I did get in the mail this week? The seven movie box set of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Wow. I know we've been talking about this.
That's going to be. Really
I don't know why you needed to buy all of them.
You're
going to
start off strong, and you're going to. Hit a lull, and then you're going to achieve sort of like a calmness at the end.
We were talking about this, and it may have been you talking to Sal about the whole Wes Craven story.
Well, because I was watching the first one and all the special features on the first one. Me being young in elementary school when the first one came out, I was too young to realize what was going on with movie studios. I didn't even know what a movie studio was.
just thought they showed up at the theater.
Right. But for me, later on to watch this stuff and realize, like, oh, wow, I mean, before Nightmare on Elm Street, New Line was a New York-based, barely even a distributor. I mean, they were barely a company to begin with, and then he comes along, and then he goes around all types of shysters and pulls together money to make Wes Craven's movie.
The guy from New Line?
Yeah, the guy from New Line is trying to get Wes Craven, and that took years.
How did New Line and Craven?
I don't know. Craven was doing something else. I don't know. He was a teacher, I think.
They both went to the same sandwich shop, and their orders got switched around.
They're souls, not their sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, souls. Sorry. They went to a soul shop. Yeah. And their souls got switched. Always get soul and sandwich.
But it was. I think Wes Craven was a teacher. He wasn't even into making movies something and whatever, stumbled into it. But once they got the movie rolling, the movie came out and was so incredibly successful.
The first one's awesome.
Yeah, it was so successful that, of course, they went in and made a next one, and the next one was even more successful. The third one was even more successful than that. And it basically built what we know. I mean, we know New Line today as the horror movie studio.
Sure.
And it
house
would have never.
Built.
Yeah, the house that Freddy built was the name of the documentary. And the thing that he was talking about was Wes Craven over the years. Wes Craven only did the first one.
Yeah.
He never meant for it to be a series of movies.
Yeah, franchise.
And would be in the papers kind of talking shit about how bad they fucked up his idea.
He was a little bitter.
Yeah,
he was a little pissed.
A little bitter. So he'd. And I think Shea.
Little Jack Kirby.
Is his name Bob Shea, maybe? The head of New Line?
I don't know.
Okay. I think that's his name. I could be wrong. But I guess over the years he had seen this stuff and at some point brought Wes Craven in to the offices. Now both of them are telling the same story. So it's not like one-sided thing. And says Wes Craven,
cut this movie in half. Right. And Wes Craven said, "No, I want him to have the whole thing."
This is years later.
True love for the book.
Wes Craven comes in and the studio or the Bob Shea says, "What is it you tell me all the problems you have. Just let's get it out
what
on the
table.
What are
you pissed about?
Yeah. And Wes Craven just lets him have it and just says and bitches about
fuck
all
me
yeah,
and
blah 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 and just
stole
is honest
my...
and throws it out there and now obviously
ugly.
It was legal because I mean
right.
he did
he
the movie
it,
they had
it
the,
was
yeah.
theirs
I mean that's
and,
how
yeah,
it was but
it was
he was a little pissed and,
well sure
and so I guess again Bob Shea could be the wrong name so I, if I keep using this name it's wrong just forgive me but they he goes well let's make it right and goes back and pays him retroactively. This insanely incredible royalty fee
for
everything ever made of all product, all movie,
that's
all
insane.
Costumes that's right. and bobbleheads.
For the every kid our age that had the plastic Freddy Krueger
yeah,
fake,
yeah.
you know, ham. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. And
millions.
You know, yeah, Wes Craven
millions.
Was like...
That's a lot of sweaters.
That shows you what kind of guy this guy at New Line was to begin with, because that does not happen
That doesn't
in
happen
Hollywood.
In any...
No.
Let alone... I mean, yeah. Hollywood's the furthest
because
place...
Because they had
happening.
No obligation.
Right.
Obviously, the reason that he bitched about all this time because he couldn't do anything about
right.
it.
Right. Legally,
no, no legal right.
And that's just, pretty amazing that
yeah.
they would
which,
that he would do that.
Which one of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies do you think is the one where there's the precipitous drop?
I think
the one after
Dream Warriors.
Oh yes, Dream Warriors.
I like Dream Warriors. Dream Warriors
really?
Is fucking
what?
Awesome.
I don't like
the,
Dream Warriors.
What was the third one?
Dream Warriors.
Yeah. Three was the Dream Warriors.
I believe so.
No, wasn't
four the Dream Warriors?
What was the one in the sanitarium?
Who? Four, I think.
It's funny because any of these could really apply
Dream
to
Dream Child was four.
Oh, that was horrible.
Dream Child four?
I think
it's the fourth
whatever
one.
Whatever the fourth one.
We just had this argument.
I thought Dream Warriors.
We talked about this the other night. Get on IMDb.
I'd have to watch Dream Warriors again,
we
but I remember
it. I swear to God, a drawing night this night, we had the exact same discussion. Everybody shouting out what order they thought the movies came in.
The first one, yeah, in Johnny Depp's first movie.
First
correct?
Movie ever.
Oh, whatever yeah. the fourth one is called, that is the one I do not like. The
I'm pretty sure,
like,
yeah. That's
I thought Dream Warriors was sweet.
Wait, Dream Warriors is the one where it's all the...
I need to know which one Dream Warriors is before...
I think Dream Warriors had the one with the different kids. Powers
right.
inside the dreams.
Yeah,
like,
I thought that one sucked.
Whatever. Don't
I don't
hate.
Know. I'll have to see it again.
Don't
I
hate, appreciate.
Hey, let's all go over to Scotty's and watch them
hate.
All in a row.
Oh.
I am when I get back. When I get back, you guys want to come over for a
we should, hey,
fiesta.
We yeah. should do Dream Warriors... as our
commentary
for Halloween.
Huh? For Halloween?
Yeah.
When you get back. Well, you won't be back.
I'd actually
though.
Like to do, I'd like to do the first
after.
One.
Well, I get back before we record.
Spooktacular.
Oh, no.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3 was Dream Warriors.
We can do it on
3 was Dream Warriors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street 4 was Dream Master.
Master.
Oh, okay, that's
Dream
the one.
Dream Child.
Yeah, that was 1989.
Dream Child, then Freddy, Final Nightmare, Freddy's Dead.
Did you guys ever like the TV
then
show?
New Nightmare.
I
did
never
you ever
watched
watch Freddy's show. Nightmares?
No.
It was actually a pretty good... If you ever... What's the... there's a goofy, campy cable station out there that...
Cinemax?
Fear.net?
Not the... No.
Count...
Chocula.
No, I was gonna say
fearful.
I was gonna say one of those...
Boo!
One of those Ned the Dead in Green Bay, the midnight movie.
Is it Scream?
Scream Channel?
Scream Channel?
I don't
anyway,
know.
Anyway, where are you
one
going
of those?
With this? Where are you going with this?
They take play. Us. They play like Freddy's okay. Nightmares, and if you remember Friday the 13th, the TV show, which
right,
was actually
that.
Really pretty good
yeah,
for the time.
I was so burnt out on Freddy. Right.
Monsters,
any of that
Tales from the Dark Side, which
okay.
is that goes really back to my childhood. It was like Friday Night Videos and
right.
Tales from the Dark
I
Side.
I had Son of Svengoolie.
Are they sad?
Remember horror movies on USA with Joe Bob Riggs?
Sure,
sweet.
Sure.
Hey,
Joe Bob was great.
Joe Bob.
Website that I found all about those midnight movie guys in Wisconsin that has a huge listing of all of, you know, because it's sort of become a bit of a rarity to
right,
have that
right.
anymore in markets. The one in Green Bay was Ned the Dead, who also like worked at a furniture store.
Nice.
He's still there, and like he just keeps moving around to whatever like the smallest former UHF station is
right.
in town.
He's doing what he loves.
Yeah,
he loves
he
those horror movies.
It's not
I love old horror
the
movies.
The same 12 movies that they've had since I was a kid.
That's right. all they have the rights to.
They have them in rotation.
Well, New Line now, because well after that whole deal is when they got Wes Craven to come back and do New Nightmare
right.
after they paid him and everything. But now the New Line went and bought the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so they
yeah.
own that. Went and then when they wanted to
Friday
do
the 13th,
Friday the 13th,
right?
they went to Warner Brothers and Paramount and bought that.
And now they're like Universal.
Yeah, they're like the old Universal, mm-hmm. where they went and snagged up all the rights to the Wolfman and Dracula and Frankenstein. And now, New Line is kind of the modern day, for me, like, when those movies all came out when I was a very young kid, all of us who were exposed to those were the horror movies. Now they're kind of the house that owns all those.
Did we ever talk about the fact that when we went and saw Rage Against the Machine that night, we were watching Halloween?
We were!
Halloween 5.
It was the one. I think it was the one.
We're laying in bed watching Halloween. Not together. Yeah. But in separate beds.
Yes, we were.
Separate smaller beds.
I don't know.
The one with the little girl.
Better.
Like his. Like
I don't even know which
the
one.
Little girl.
We were fighting about trying to figure out which one it was.
Did you guys like the Texas Chainsaw
remake?
Yes.
I thought it was okay. I didn't dislike it.
My only problem with it was the one thing I really like about the original one is that sort of, and that's just me because I like that sort of thing, is like how it seems kind of like thrown together.
Yeah.
But the one thing I thought the remake wasn't that bad. The only thing I didn't like was sometimes like everything was shot a little too pretty. Sometimes where you
little
see
bit.
Something, you'd be like, oh, that's a little...
It didn't
you know,
have. Well, see, I really love the original Texas Chainsaw. I think it's an awesome,
I think the remake was bad. There's just a few times where I was
low
like,
budget
that's
horror
a little,
film. Yeah. I didn't think it was bad either, but like to me, just my personal opinion of it is like the part of the charm of the original one is the fact that it was like no budget and
it's almost scarier to me because of that.
Sure. I mean, he did a lot of sort of. He had to make. You know, considerations for a lot of things.
Sure.
And in doing that, he had to be really creative in putting that film together, I thought. And it ended up, like you said, being almost scarier because he didn't show anything. Couldn't show anything.
I think that's very true, but I mean, again, not disagreeing at all. Yeah. But I think that frame of mind doesn't hold up for younger generations because they were never.
No! I'm not saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I like.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're
completely right.
That's
why
the remake,
the brilliance of the first Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I like the remake, but I almost, like you said, it was almost like too colorful and too.
They captured what was good about the first one. And they kind of like polished it up a bit, which it can either be good or bad, depending on how you're going to go
your personal
into it.
Opinion,
yeah. But I mean, it wasn't that bad.
I think for somebody watching it for the first time, like I even said that about the new Halloween. I mean, there's going to be the endless debate. Oh,
right,
why'd they remake that movie? Whatever, who cares?
Psycho.
For somebody who just watches the new Halloween may not have seen the first Halloween, they will love it.
Right,
it is good.
Yeah,
it's. Well,
I think, like, Texas, what they did so well, the remake of it, they didn't make the mistake of, like, going, we have to completely reinvent everything.
Sure.
We have to, the gore, it was gory, but it wasn't like,
it was more intense than gory.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
We have
and
to make him gigantic.
I'll tell you a remake that I thought was great. That I absolutely loved was The Hills Have
Eyes.
That
was fucking awesome.
I fucking loved that movie. Yeah.
I haven't seen the
original
second one
was a piece
Speaking
of
Wes
shit.
Craven.
I mean,
and that was Wes Craven.
That was
yeah.
Wes Craven.
The original one was a piece of crap, but the remake was 100 times better, I thought.
That was scary as shit.
Oh, yeah.
What that was very intense.
What I liked about it that made it so much better is that they did a really good job of taking... Like, salvaging what out of that original movie was scary, and then actually using stuff that was usable now to enhance that instead of just taking everything wholesale and saying, we're just going to make everything modern, and that's it. They added modern to the right parts of it that sort of made
it
scarier.
A lot of these remakes are on the right thing, because it used to be like... Oh, even Texas Chainsaw Massacre, there was 3 and 4. I mean, they were awful films.
Sure.
They were horrible because they just thought, well, we just got a guy with a chainsaw and a leather mask,
we'll just keep going.
Even all of those, Friday the 13th, we just make them gorier, weirder death scenes.
It all starts to get weird
and
gallows humor that they actually always
And they completely in. Lose what made the film good to begin with. Well. And you can do such a better job, obviously the budget on... Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake, is 1,000 times bigger than the original.
It is 1,000 times more, but part of the charm and part of the thing that makes me appreciate those the two remakes, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Beginning, which came after it.
I didn't like The Beginning.
The Beginning just felt like a remake of the remake.
Yeah, I know.
But the charm of those two movies is they also are not super high budget. Now, comparatively to movies made now, that's the beauty is, Michael Bay.
Michael Bay
is purposely creating this kind of side company to make, you know, today's low budget movies for first-time director, you know, first-time directors, and but saying, even with a low budget, we can make pretty movies.
Right.
We can make
Saw a nice was pretty low budget, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. That's Lion Gate.
And they shoot those really quick.
Yeah.
I mean,
they just pump them out every year.
Yeah.
You know, my wife actually loves
I like the first two. I haven't seen
I
any
don't
more,
mind. I've seen them all so far.
I got burnt out after, like, the second... I saw the second one, and I was like... Because they come out so fast, I'm just kind of like... There's no urgency for me to, like...
Go and see another
one.
It's the same thing. To me, it's like watching a video game, right? It's like each one's just the next version of the video game.
You get to the next level.
I mean, so to me, as movies, it doesn't really matter. But
I don't find them that scary.
Has anybody seen Hostel 2?
No.
I didn't really see Hostel.
You want to... I like the first one. You want to talk about something that is... about made me have a damn heart attack. What? I had to stop the movie every 10 minutes.
Oh.
No, it was Rain Over Me with Adam Sandler.
Scared the shit out of me.
Which I did love that movie. I had to stop it every 10 minutes to have a cigarette because I was like, why is my heart pumping so fast? High Tension.
Oh, yeah,
have you seen High Tension?
That's the Tarantino one?
No.
This is a French
it's like
film,
a French movie that came over here.
Oh, yeah, Tarantino de Hostel.
He produced
it. He puts his name
on
like
fucking
Hero, where that came out, one movie I fell asleep in the theater.
Yeah, let's get this out right now. Producers don't do shit other than fund the film, or they just
or even that.
They just, like, attach their name so that they can get funding for the film.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, Quentin Tarantino's producing this. We'll
anyway, back to High Tension.
But High Tension. Now, the ending is complete, like most of these French films. That come over, like, there was the other one.
Amelie?
No. There was Descent came over.
Yes.
That had a weird fucking ending.
Yeah.
So High Tension, the ending, complete and utter bullshit. But you do not care.
I didn't finish
you
it.
You do not care because the fucking movie
getting there
will give you a goddamn heart attack. And it goes right at the beginning when she's at the house. And every 5 seconds, you're like, oh, my God!
I'd have to sign
get out of the closet!
Don't you have to sign a waiver when you buy it that you won't sue them
for dying?
Yeah,
you won't sue them for dying.
And they bring you they have a coffin waiting outside your house.
And there's a fine masturbation scene in there by her.
Yeah. And then right after that, it's fucking on.
Yeah, and then, right
they're trying to calm you down, like, ooh, get horny, little perv.
And then it's
get horny. Yeah. And then for 2 hours after that, you're panicking, you're sweating blood.
You know what I think we talked about before, the horror movie I liked was... with Steve Zahn and
Joyride.
Yeah, that's an
awesome. Joyride is awesome. Yeah. It is funny.
It is.
It's pretty intense.
Did you ever see the alternate endings
I like that movie.
Joyride was a good good horror movie. It was really good.
Seriously, horror movies for me, it's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake. I watched it 15 minutes at a time during the day.
Sure.
I don't handle horror movies very well.
What was that?
Joyride, they're talking to the guy on the CB, and they play a prank on the guy, right?
And you don't ever want to do that.
Yeah. Don't fuck with
He's basically now the trucker's fucking with him. But the best line in that fucking movie is Steve Zahn. When the guy's gone crazy, he's already killed somebody. And the guy goes, you know what? I have something more powerful than your psychosis. It's called a volume knob. And it just turns the CB off, right? Because, the reason I like that is because it was a horror movie that kind of... they approached it in a practical manner of, like...
Right.
Everybody else, as soon as something crazy happens... It's like they already know the story and how scared they should be.
Right.
I should be frightened now.
Yeah. Right. And in this one, it's two guys in a CB going, hey, you know what? Talk all the shit you want, bitch. This is a CB. You're not a ghost.
What are you going to do to me?
Yeah.
But it also has that urban legend
the natural
part
fear
of it.
And, CB radios, too.
Well, they're creepy. Truckers are a creepy lot.
Anybody, has anybody screwed around with CB radio?
I won't tell you my handle.
I didn't even know what a CB was until I watched Joyride.
I didn't know if
that was like a generational thing.
I was on a convoy. I'm 29. I'm not even 29 yet.
Yeah.
We did. When I was kids,
my dad had one for work because he owned a construction company. So.
Oh, there you go.
Did you guys ever play with a lightsaber? A real one?
No.
Did you ever kill anyone?
Well, once or twice.
Did you ever go into someone's dream and kill them?
It was accidental.
No one saw the look.
Yeah, no one saw. Yeah. Too bad it's not on video. Yeah. Too bad we couldn't. As I just
a video cast,
Scotty. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm tired from running through your dreams all night.
Your dreams?
No, I don't. I'm not necessarily like. I'm not a horror movie fan in the way, like, you know, some horror movie fans, they like every horror movie from, like, the, not even, you know, it's like D-level horror movies. Now, right. I don't get down on that level. I mean, it still has to be, you know, a somewhat
some production
plausible
value
movie.
To
yeah.
it or,
and, I mean, that's why I like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, too, because they were just aesthetically pleasing. I mean... still frightening.
The blood was, you know, so red.
Just the sepia tones of them. And, you know,
no, I know.
I can't get down with, like, the just the...
Black and white old...
Well, see, that's the fun, too. I'm talking about the fucking D movies. Where it's just, like, costs, like, $10.
I saw
bucks.
One on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Giant
the,
ants.
You know, the Sci-Fi Channel...
Stanley's Harpies?
No, you know, when they have the Sci-Fi Channel horror movies where they're all, like... there was like I watched a horror one where they were fighting some Nazi super monster, and they're all like, oh, all acting frightened. And then up comes possibly the worst CGI'd giant monster. It looks like a video game monster. And I'm just like, how could you seriously make this film and be
let
like,
it go out?
And be like, this looks horrible.
You know, I actually did not find The Ring to be that good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I liked The Ring.
I thought The Ring was a series of, like, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, ha, psych, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, psych, and then they show you that brief thing in the closet, and you're like, oh, that's freaky, right? Mm-hmm. When the girl's all like, oh.
I like
that's one of the few, like, movies that I've never gone back and watched again because it creeped me out. So
I just thought it was, as I was watching, very freaked out, but only because I kept going, oh, they're going to get me this time, But the second time I watched it, I was like, they can't get me now because there's no payoffs until the end. It's just a bunch
of...
Well,
yeah, watching it again. I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
did you ever watch the second one? I thought...
I never did watch
some horror movies don't really need a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, was there more story?
Most horror movies don't need a sequel.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Do you see dead people? I'm alive!
You sort of, like, have told your story, and now there's no need.
Blair Witch Project probably bore the crap out of you, didn't it?
No, I actually enjoyed that.
Did you?
Really?
I really... You know what? I loved it, too. The thing was, what happened was it got huge, and people were like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was like, for what
it was,
it was
a fantastic student film.
It was a fantastically, like, interesting
movie. If my friends had done that and shown it to me, I would have been blown away.
Now,
but
the
fact that I went into a theater and paid money to see it, not so blown
away. That's your own fault.
Well, yeah.
It's funny because you can still see Heather on Steak and Shake commercials.
Yeah. Well, she's on all types of shit.
But then it's funny
because
then they sold her, they made a sequel, someone else made a sequel, and I was like, that's weird because
this sequel was all super produced, like Michael Bay swooping camera movies.
Yeah.
The first one, like, and again, I'm not a person who likes things because they're different, but... I was very tense while watching that movie because of the sense of person holding
a
camera.
Yeah, there was certainly... I mean, it was innovative, it was interesting, and it wasn't bad. I just... It was the problem of, like, she got hugely hyped, and it was like, oh, it was the greatest thing ever. And and I didn't see it until after that, and it was like, oh, all right. Well,
that doesn't have rewatchability though.
No.
With the DVD commentary.
Oh, the commentary.
No, the commentary.
Yeah, the commentary.
You know what they said the most expensive part of that movie was?
The recording, the audio recording,
the Scooby Doo references.
They had to pay for Scooby-Doo.
That's right.
That was the most expensive part of that
fucking
movie.
Fucking Hanna-Barbera bastards.
Yeah.
That was another movie. Like, watching it again, like, oh, this is... Because it's tense and you're waiting for something to happen. Obviously, nothing really... I mean, you'll ever see anything, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
And so rewatching it, you know, like, oh, well,
there's nothing
it's
there.
Not that tense.
Well, I think horror movies in general, it's like... Once you've seen it, it's like, how many horror movies are you going to go back?
I don't know. There's some horror movies that, like, the chase is so well done, and the tension is so well mastered that every time, somehow my mind is telling me,
Jaws.
They're going to get away this time.
I can watch Jaws a thousand times.
They're going to get away this time. Like, I don't know why. I know they're not, but maybe it
can. I can watch Jaws a million times.
Jaws is just a great movie.
Have you seen Audition?
Jaws is fantastic. I have it at home. I haven't watched it yet.
Have you watched the end of it? Have you seen Audition?
No.
That's one of those...
Attention?
Audition.
I'll have to get
I've heard that was fucked up. Yeah, I heard it was messed up. I have it at home. I haven't watched it.
It's one of those ones where there's at least a couple parts where I'm just like, oh.
Well, I know Will Pfeiffer had recommended Old Boy, which isn't straight up really a horror film. It's
very similar.
I don't even know what the hell you call it. It's a suspenseful, but it's a mess. That's an awesome, awesome movie. And one of the most messed up endings in a movie I've ever seen.
Someday I hope to remake the Blair Witch Project and just, like, finally showed the thing, you know,
the thing?
Like
mind
just, Blair Witch. Because obviously that's the biggest flaw in the movies. You don't ever see a monster or a witch.
I want to see something.
You have to see that, yeah.
Damn, well, that's it. Why in the Ring, while the production value and looked very cool, like a cool Marilyn Manson video when she crawls out of the screen, I thought that was very cool looking, but I didn't necessarily find a girl that kind of had static going.
Do you think they're going to have to update that for DVDs eventually? Kids are going to be like, what the fuck is DVD?
That's a good point. Anything else we have to be on?
Well, you know, we're talking more, and we are a comic podcast, or comic centric podcast.
Last radio has
favorite horror comics out there.
Right now I'm really digging the Cal McBound. They're not technically horror stuff. Well, I mean, they're I guess they are, but they're not like scary.
I think it's too hard to do.
The Cal McDonald
horror genre.
Is tough to do.
It's
too
hard to do because there's there's always fucking ads, so there's no way to really place your payoffs.
Yeah. You can skip to the end.
Yeah, it's just you're looking at one page and you're fucking the reveal is always gonna unless it's always timed perfect and a lot of times it's not, but. Mm-hmm. How many times have you opened a comic and went, oh, fuck, and your eye caught the last panel of the second page, and you're like, God damn it.
I don't remember ever really, like, being scared by a comic book ever.
Tell you, the first Walking Dead trade is the most, turn down the lights.
That one's got the tension in it.
That is the most I felt like actually watching
a horror movie.
Like an old school suspense black and white horror film
that
first Walking Dead trade
and there's
not the same amount of tension in that book anymore. Now it's more of the soap opera
with
zombies but that first arc,
The Waiting Place,
was really
scared you, Tom. Waiting Place scared
I don't know, for me the horror comics are I like to look at them.
I have a hard time even calling them horror because monster comics, you know what I mean?
I'll be jumping into poor Sal's lap tonight whenever we're watching 30 Days a Night, but reading that graphic novel didn't scare me.
Well, there's almost sort of a, you know, like you have like a Freddy, you know, Freddy Krueger comic book. The fact that you kind of have to have Freddy Krueger appear in a lot of it sort of ruins when he shows up.
Well, like people don't realize that at times what and I'm gonna I'll use a reference outside of horror movies to explain the same thing. But we watched 28 or Rain Over Me this week. Casey hadn't seen it. We watched that with them. So
scary?
It's a great fucking movie. No, but something like Casey got so moved at one moment, and we paused it. And I said, "That's how powerful music can be." Because if you were to hear them say that same conversation without an incredible few chords behind it on acoustic guitar, that scene would have meant nothing. It would have just been like two guys having a conversation while eating Chinese food. But all of a sudden you get, and it's the same with horror movies. I mean, a lot of times it's the music that makes those horror movies. I mean,
I always put on Halloween sound effects if I'm reading.
Just start creaking door. I think when I get back to Colorado, we're going to go to. That was good.
You are going to be a Foley artist one of these days.
When we get back, we should go out to, before Halloween, Statesville Prison. Have you guys heard of that haunted house?
Yes, I've been to it.
Is it awesome?
Yes.
Yes, it's the number one rated haunted house in the nation.
Wait, you're coming back next Friday.
One out of ten people die. One out of ten people die inside of it from fright.
Do they?
From a fright attack.
Which one of us will die?
Sal.
Chris.
Oh my God!
I'm raising my hand.
I used to work haunted houses when I was younger. Yeah. When I was like in high school.
Did you hold the skinned grapes?
No. It's eyeballs.
It was a lot of fun because you would always, obviously, you know, it was like the JC's, the local.
You'd expose your genitals.
Yeah. Well, there was that.
Touch the head, kid.
The Wolfman's balls.
But it would always be fun because you would like have people that you knew from high school come in there and you just scare the living shit out of them, and they have no idea who you are.
You're not supposed to really shoot people.
Well, one time.
Sal would sneak up behind him with a knife and put it in the real
take
fucking
the chain
horror.
Give me some money, motherfucker.
This is a real horror haunted house.
We had a lot of fun. A lot of fun in the haunted house.
We're going to go out
this a lot of fun.
A lot of good times.
A lot of good times.
Okay, good night.
All right. That it? We done?
Touch my brain. Touch my brains.
Yeah. Happy fucking horror movie.
Happy Halloween.
This bowl is full of my brains.
All right, well, I'll take... As I pick up my mic.
Rush!
He's like, are you ready? I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I don't have a mic. Holy crap.
Oh, no!
Someone stole
it. What's going on?
So are you guys going to be able to see the movie or not?
I don't think we're going to... We went a little long. I don't know if we're going to be able to make it tonight unless we...
We'll see. We'll have to scope the
I'm going to find a theater on the way home and just go by myself.
You're so hard to the core.
I can't see it by myself.
Jesus Christ.
Wrap it up. Let's wrap it up.
I need you. Another reason why I'm going to go by myself.
It is freaking me out.
Show always ends in tears.
Yes. And there was God that moment whenever we were both reaching for the popcorn at the same time.
And we grabbed cocks.
And my dick was in it.
It's a diner. Great, great movie. Well, to wrap things up here, want to let you know that you can become a friend of the program.
Go to AroundComics.com and download and print out our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they will display it in the store. If they do, send us an email. We'll mention you and the store on the show, as well as post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
In the spirit of Halloween, which I won't be here for the next week to do a Halloween spooktacular, so in the spirit of that, you could take a machete and chop Chris's head off and skull fuck him. Or
Jesus.
Yeah, but what I really mean is Leo Nitunes review. That's metaphor.
Just like just like Lon Chaney and Wolfman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Skull fucks that peasant.
I forgot the gypsy.
Maybe you guys didn't see the same edition.
So yeah, go to iTunes.
Was it the director's cut? Was
yes.
it
yeah. the skull fucking?
See that in the script, skull fucking.
Yeah. Just please.
So go to iTunes and leave a skull fucking review.
Yeah. Please don't.
The Scotty Young Challenge.
We'd like to remind everyone that this episode is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades.com is offering this month's reading selection, The Witching Hour, to Around Comics listeners for an amazing 40% off. Get your copy today for only $11.97.
Sell it harder.
InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades.com, Jesus, is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essential showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus
Bring
editions,
it home.
And more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 ship for free.
So many editions.
There's
so
a lot
many
of editions.
There's so much
lot.
Stuff to buy.
We are proud to help support the heroes.
Oh, you know, fuck you.
Sell it, Tom. Sell it.
Bitch. I'm crying while I'm doing this. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
I just kept thinking of... when he was doing the, I kept thinking, day man,
versus night man. Master of karate.
Speaking and of friendship for everyone.
Oh, well, speaking of hero, we've got some really cool interviews coming up that will be in association with hero. So look forward to those in the coming weeks.
It's our gift to you, the listener.
And go to hero and give money. It's good stuff. All right, I would like to.
Sal is flopping his own work. Am I supposed to say who we're talking to?
No, that's all right. I'm done.
For Tom Cater, Scotty Young, John Sundress, and Brian Salazar.
You don't speak
for me.
Oh, before we, I wanted to give a shout out to Tyler Slater.
They're going to say Tyler Perry.
No, Tyler Slater, friend of my niece's, who she went to high school with and hadn't seen for a few years, ran into him in a bar. And he was a comic book guy, and she asked him about if he had ever listened to podcasts, and he's a big fan of our show, and actually didn't believe her that I was her uncle.
We're so stupid fresh. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, Tyler. I think it's Tyler.
Hey, wrong name.
Hey, he's 22, probably 21, 22.
Right in the target audience.
Right in the
baby.
But he is a big fan of the show, and it was just kind of funny that she was laughing the whole time because he was like, oh my, really? No way. You know it. And,
one of 10
and she's just like, yeah, he's my dumbass uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to sell industrial cleaner.
Hey, don't laugh.
That's going to be paired for gold microphones.
That's right.
Well, for the whole crew here, and definitely for Mark at Dark Tower Comics for hosting us, as always, thank you very much.
John in the booth.
And John in the booth, the producer. Everyone, have a fantastic week. Please remember to come back on Monday for Around Comics.
Always remember.
The Comics Culture Podcast.
Never forget.
More of the Answer Man and Rant and Scotty and
whatever it is I do.
Professor Sal. Exactly.
Sal's meandering.
Yes, that's pretty much it. My wild hair.
That'll be on Monday, and then the roundtable will
tricky.
Be back. Scotty-less next time.
Yeah, I won't be here next week. I'm going to be in the mountains of Colorado.
Luckily, a lot of the jokes I wrote are not time specific, so yeah, I'll be able to use them next week.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you won't get snowed in and have to chase Casey around the house with an axe.
Yeah, I will.
All work and no play.
Thanks, Scotty, an old boy.
Red I'm not going to fuck around with the chase. I'm gonna do the smart thing, just kill her in her sleep.
Red
I don't go for this chasing bullshit.
Red
I'm too old for that.
I can't chase. You a text message that says Red Rom.
Red Rom.
And I almost guarantee I will send one back with a photo of her dead body in bed. I'm sorry.
Oh, shit.
But wouldn't it be fucked up as soon as I did, all of a sudden, right after the snow melted and I was all better? Like, oh, that's fucked up.
Oh, shit.
Tom will be driving.
No, all it was like a half an inch of snow.
It's a fucking blizzard.
I can't get out.
You stupid whore.
Like, Scotty, it's just a heavy frost.
Yes.
Tom's going to be driving up
I'm
mountain.
I'm like the scat man. Yeah. Driving, and Scotty puts an axe in my chest.
But by the time Tom gets there, it really is all sunny. There's no snow on the ground whatsoever. He's like, hey, he's got an axe in the chest.
I fucked up,
dude. And now you've seen it. I'm not crazy anymore, but now it's just, you know, now it's just smart of me to fucking kill you. Before it was a mistake.
Then I get on my four-wheeler.
You come up there in your bobcat.
The Shining.
Romeo must die.
It's the Shining.
I hold my gun sideways. That's the end of the show.
Arr! Holla at your dog.
Is this a new show?
No, I think it's the end. This is all we got.
All right, we'll be back on Monday, and then back again on Thursday.
Yes,
and
we will.
In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Holler at your frog.
What?
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and love?